for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, December the 29th, 2011. Bo Fisher is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Liberty to the Captives. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Continue on in verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Again, the verb is were. That's past tense. That's something that's already been done. Continue on in verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. Again, were buried. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his. We'll stop there. That word if, see that right there? That could be a little wiggle room there for the devil talking to you. If we, because you might say, well, maybe I haven't been united with him in a death like his. That word if in Greek essentially means for as much as. Or you could just as easily translate it as since. So let's reread it that way. Since and for as much as we have been united with him in a death like his. Look at verse 6. We know that we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Notice again, our old self was crucified. Isn't that past tense? I mean, do y'all's Bible say the same thing? That's Texan, y'all's. Find that in the Texan dictionary. Do y'all's Bible say the same thing, y'all? Was, were, have been, did, that kind of thing. It's all past tense. It's your old self has already been crucified with him. It's an accomplished fact that is now in the past. Look at verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, again, there's that if. That word if in the Greek means for as much as, or since. Since and for as much as we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. You have died with Christ already in the past. In some mysterious spiritual way, your old man has already been crucified with Christ. This is something that God did for you when you were born again. With Christ, you died under the law, under its righteous requirements of wrath and punishment, a record of debt with legal demands. And there on that cross, Christ drank the full cup of God's wrath against sin to the last drop. And then he died with you in him, according to the mysterious grace of God. Things it says angels desire to look into. He and you in him died under the law, and thus you died to the law. Now, there are no more accusations to level against you. Every sin, every broken law was paid for. Every punishment and penalty satisfied. It's as if Jesus, you get that camera thing. I don't want to walk out of your field of vision. It's as if Jesus went there to the cross and said, okay, I'm going to become sin on the cross. Lay it all out. Every sin you can think of, every sin that's ever been done, from even Adam committing the very first one, and then Cain, and then everyone that occurred through then, the probably millions of people that died in Noah's flood, and all of the, I mean, Think of the untold scores of billions of sins that have been committed since man was created. Okay, the abuse, the snitty words, the embarrassing people in front of a crowd, the exploitation, all the things that are done in secret, all of the evil, all of the adultery, all the cheating, all the things that were never come to the light, all the things that were done, billions and billions and billions of sins. Sins, all of them requiring justice. And Jesus said, lay it on, lay it on, lay it on. I will take every bit of it. I'll take every whip. I'll take every nail. I'll take every spitting. I'll take every insult. Okay, are you done yet? No, there's a few more. Heap it on, whatever it is, because I'm going to take it all, every bit of it. And when it had been done, when every righteous requirement of that law, not against him, right, against you, had been satisfied, then he took it into the grave and he left it there. So what other accusation is there if he took it all? I mean, he waited. He waited, you might say, 3 times. He gave every... I'm making that number up. Is there any more? Is there any more Satan? Is there any more God? Is there any more punishment, penalty, conviction, indictment? I want every one. Then he took it, and it didn't come up. He paid for it. There's no double jeopardy. You know what double jeopardy is? It's being tried for the same offense twice. Okay? Means if Mike commits a crime... okay, maybe he did, maybe he didn't, whatever. And he's tried, and he's found innocent. He can't be tried for that again, right? Even if new evidence is found, he's already been tried for it. Is that right? If I understand correctly. There's no double jeopardy. There's no being tried twice for the same offense. Justice is satisfied, and now you are regarded as innocent. And that's how you can be delivered from all of these things that we've been talking about. And now maybe you can better understand how Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? That's what it says in Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can read more about these things if you're interested in the book of Colossians chapter 2. Now let's all stand. Repeat after me. When I was born again, if there's anybody that's not born again, you need to get born again right now, okay? Tell Jesus, I repent, forgive me, come and live inside of me, I give my life to you, okay? Turn to idols, to the living God. Repeat after me. When I was born again, God put me in Christ. In Christ I was crucified, died and was buried. In Christ I died to the law. The law has been satisfied and has no more claim over me. In Christ I was raised from the dead. I'm released and delivered from the law because of what God has done for me in Christ. Okay, you may be seated. This has wonderful... being delivered from the law has wonderful implications, because that means that we can really walk as overcoming sons and daughters of God. 10 feet tall and bulletproof, so to speak, in terms of our walk in an evil world. Look at what else we're delivered from. Turn to the book of Galatians chapter 1. We are right on target. We're going to get you folks to bed by midnight. Just a joke. Some of you young folks can stay up later. I'm officially middle-aged. I go to bed before midnight on New Year's Eve. Unless my wife says, you're no fun anymore. And then, you know, like watch a movie until midnight or something. Praise God. Galatians 1, And look at verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you serve a God that begins his epistles that way? Right? His apostles begin his epistles that way. Grace to you and peace from God, announcing a message of grace and peace from God. I mean, you could serve a different God who says, such and such, an apostle from whatever God to Patty and Kevin. Whoa. Whoa, you're in trouble. Look at verse 4. Who gave himself, talking about Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. These verses in Galatians say that we are delivered from this present evil age. That word deliver is another Greek word. It means exaireo. It means out of, like taken away from. And it means to tear out, release, pluck out, rescue. And that word evil, again, is that word poneros, harmful, calamitous, disease, morally derelict, painful, arising from the devil and his works. So I'm going to reread this verse to you, but using those other definitions. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to release, rescue, tear, and pluck us out of this present harmful, calamitous, disease, morally derelict, painful age, world, or time in history that is under the tyranny of the devil and full of his works. Now, how does God deliver us from this present evil age? We see it right here in verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age. The means by which we're delivered out of this present evil age was by means of Christ giving himself for our sins. God's forgiveness is what sets us free from this present evil age. And God's forgiveness is the engine of deliverance. It is what drives the deliverance ministry. And here's what makes it good news, right? You've heard that before? Gospel, good news. It's given freely. It's given freely. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously, freely, unreservedly, gratuitously give us all things? Amen? So the devil comes to accuse you to the Father. This is the devil. And he comes before God. And he says, Gerald did something bad. Punish him. And Christ at the right hand of the Father leans over and says, Father, I already shed my blood to pay for that. And the devil comes back and he says, Jeff did something bad. Punish him. Right? Because that's what the devil loves, to punish. And the Son leans to the bosom of the Father from his right hand and says, Father, I already shed my blood to pay for that. And so the devil comes back and he says, Jason thought something bad. Punish him. Right? His eyes kind of light up with hope that this time he'll get to see some punishment. And the Lord Jesus, from the right hand of the Father, leans over into the bosom of the Father, a place that he is so familiar with, for he came out from it, and says, Father, I already shed my blood to pay for that. So you see how you can sing with one of those wonderful new worship songs that have begun to become popular. Death has no hold on me. Sin has no hold on me. You have the victory. Y'all know that song? You heard that one? Let's all stand. You want me to sing it to you? Just the chorus. Raise your hand if you know it. Okay. Death has no hold on me. Sin has no hold on me. You have the victory. I'll teach it to you. Death has no hold on me. Sin has no hold on me. You have the victory. He's talking about Jesus. Death has no hold on me. Sin has no hold on me. You have the victory, Jesus. Death has no hold on me. Sin has no hold on me. You have the victory. Let's sing, I have the victory. Death has no hold on me. Sin has no hold on me. I have the victory. Oh, y'all are catching on. Death has no hold on me. Sin has no hold on me. I have the victory. Praise God. You remain standing. Let's do some deliverance. Jesus, we pray that you would come right now with an anointing to set people free in the name of Jesus. We pray that you would break the power of every bondage and chain in the name of Jesus. We pray that you would break the power of striving in the name of Jesus. We rebuke striving. We command striving to go, striving to be good, striving for God's love. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke you and break your power. We break the power in the name of Jesus of all legalism. We command legalism to go. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke you. We rebuke the insecurity that sows in God's people. Loose them in the name of Jesus. Insecurity about God's love. Insecurity about God's forgiveness. We rebuke you and break your power and command you to go in the name of Jesus. Fear, go in the name of Jesus. Fear of wrath, fear of punishment, in the name of Jesus. Shrinking back from God, we command you to go in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you. The scripture says, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkles to the purifying of the unclean, how much more will the blood of Christ, who was offered as a lamb without spot before God, purge your conscience? That means your consciousness from dead works to serve the living God. In that same context there in about Hebrews 9 or 10, it's talking about if there had been a sacrifice that had been perfect under the law, then it would have been made and there would be no more remembering of sins because it would have forgiven. But as it is, with them being offered every year, there's a continual bringing again to remembrance of sins. Christ's sacrifice ends that. It's a once for all, total, perfect sacrifice. It atones for every sins. It cleanses the conscience so that the consciousness will not be sin conscious, but will be God conscious. Our sin is important to God. He deals with it in a different way now. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke you, Satan. You loose God's people from that insecurity and fear, drivenness and striving in the name of Jesus, striving after the love of God, striving after the presence of God, striving after the peace of God. We rebuke you. We break your power in the name of Jesus. Everything that would keep God's people from resting in the forgiveness of God, resting in the love of God, resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus, coming into the Sabbath rest of that God has created for his people. We rebuke you. We break your power. We smash in the name of Jesus. We pull down and destroy and break and mow down the power of every fear and legalistic structure that the devil has built in anyone's life. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke you and break your power. In the name of Jesus, any sense of separation from God, any sense of fear of God, not fear of God, obviously we want to fear God, it's a different thing though, any sense of fear of his presence and shrinking back, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke you and break your power. You loose God's people in the name of Jesus. Pray in the Spirit if you speak in tongues. O shata toko matida bo sura le debu daba. Mare doro sora crosto uscire bulicci de buscinama. Nende botti a stesse da bello trosse da barama. Randa da bussa da Cristo sura vedrivishinama. I want to take authority in the name of Jesus over every spirit that is transferred onto God's people. From any means whatsoever, in the name of Jesus, if it's from family in the holidays, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. You loose them. You let them go. Fear, witchcraft, intimidation, in the name of Jesus. Shame, insecurity, embarrassment, witchcraft, control. We break your power. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Loose God's people. Loose them. Loose them. Loose them. In the name of Jesus. If it's something from the media, some kind of lust, some kind of sensuality, in Jesus' name, some kind of a special consciousness of sexuality or sensuality. In the name of Jesus, loose them, loose them, loose them in the name of Jesus. Loose them, loose them, loose them in the name of Jesus. Any pornographic lust, any sensuality from movies in the name of Jesus. Loose them, loose them, loose them. The things they've seen, the things they've heard. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke you. We break your power in the name of Jesus. Folks, just pray in the Spirit. Folks, you must be so careful about what you allow in your eye and your ear gate. It is so easy to become infected with the spirits of the world that come through Hollywood and even just the media. I mean, even just the commercials that you hear on the radio can demonize you. Some of the subjects that are talked about, they're inappropriate. Just consider yourself a G-rated person, okay? My stepmother says, well, you know, the only movies that you can watch if you want to watch G movies are cartoons. So we have a lot of cartoons in our house. My wife and I are middle-aged and we watch cartoons. In the name of Jesus, we command those infections, those spirits that have gotten on us from watching blood to go, from watching violence to go, to hearing cursing and blasphemy and profanity to go. In the name of Jesus, you clouds of the mind, you darkness of the mind, you infection of the mind, your pollution of the mind, in the name of Jesus, go, go, go from God's people. In the name of Jesus, dirty jokes, go. In the name of Jesus, double entendres and sexual innuendos and dirty talking and lewdness and sensuality, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Go, go, go from the minds in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you. We break your power in the name of Jesus. The pride of life, we command the pride of life to go in the name of Jesus. The lust for materialism and other things and for position and power, we rebuke you. We break your power. We break your power one-upmanship in the name of Jesus. We command you to go. Loose God's people in the name of Jesus. We command you to go. Religious spirits, go, go, go in the name of Jesus. We rebuke every religious spirit, every legalistic spirit in the name of Jesus. We break the power of the devil in God's people in the name of Jesus. We command you to go. We run a fine-tooth comb through God's people, so to speak, right now in the spirit world, and we command every demonic infestation to go. In the name of Jesus, we attack your nests. We smash through your fortifications. In the name of Jesus, we uproot your bunkers. In the name of Jesus, and we destroy you. We devastate you. In the name of Jesus, we beat and batter you back, and we command you to go. In the name of Jesus, go, go, go. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we command debauchery and partying and drunkenness and alcoholism, alcohol abuse and drug use and marijuana. In the name of Jesus, ecstasy and LSD and mushrooms and every kind of illegal drug. In the name of Jesus, we command you to go. Mind-altering drug, we command you to go. In the name of Jesus, we command the occult spirits to go. We command the New Age spirits to go. In the name of Jesus, we command the pharmakia spirits to go. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke you, rebuke you, rebuke you. We break your power. We command you to go. In the name of Jesus, loose them, loose them, loose them. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke you. We break your power in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come. Deliver God's people in the name of Jesus. We command fear of the future to go. In the name of Jesus, we command fear of economic collapse to go. I'm not saying we won't have economic collapse, but we command the fear to go. In the name of Jesus, we command fear of the future to go. We command fear of being left out, left alone, left out in the cold to go. In the name of Jesus, stay close to Jesus. He will protect you. We command you to go, Satan. In Jesus' name, we rebuke you. We break your power. In the name of Jesus, we command all worldly spirits to go, coming through movies and television. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke you. We break your power. In the name of Jesus, we command you to go. In the name of Jesus, loose, loose, loose God's people. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you. Let's have just a little bit more and then we'll dismiss. Why don't you be seated? Let's go on with this good news of God's deliverance. Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians 1, and we're going to start in verse 9. For in Him, that's in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. That's another way of saying that all of God was in Christ. Colossians 1, starting in verse 9. It's Colossians 2, I'm sorry. I think it's Colossians 2. What does 1:9 say? Nope, it's not 1:9, it's 2:9. Fix that. Colossians 2:9 is a different sermon. 1:9 is a different sermon. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in Him, Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you've been filled in him who's the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed. Well, we'll stop right there. We're delivered from the power of darkness. Right? Do you see that? We're delivered from the power of darkness. That word, hold on just a sec. That doesn't look like the verse that I was thinking I was going to be reading. No. I was right. It's Colossians chapter 1. My mistake. That's good in Colossians 2. You can read that. Remember I told you to read Colossians 2. Let's go back to Colossians 1. My apologies. We're probably picking it up in the middle of a thought, and that's why it looked a little strange for me. Colossians 1, verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you. Y'all in Colossians 1 now? Asking, in verse 9, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Okay, that word delivered there, where it says we're delivered from the domain of darkness. Again, that's, I'm not going to read it in Greek, okay? But that word, the domain there, that means the jurisdictional authority. I think that's right. I'm just going to read it. I did the research. You just have to trust me. You can look it up yourself, okay? But this is what it says here. If you trade in, if you look at the Greek words and then you sort of amplify them a little bit and then you re-put them back into the verse, this is what it says. God has rescued and delivered us from the jurisdictional authority of shadiness, obscurity, and darkness, and transferred, exchanged, and carried us away to the rule and reign of his beloved Son. Now who is it that did this? God. God did this. Now that's what makes it good news, huh? Because God did it. Notice how this work of God is so closely related to the fact that he has redeemed us and forgiven our sins. Right? Isn't that what it says? Verse 14. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That word redemption there, in Greek, apoloustrosis or whatever, ransom in full, riddance. Deliverance. That's why it's at a deliverance conference. And that word forgiveness there, again, aphesis, freedom, pardon, liberty, deliverance. So again, if you're born again, God has transferred, exchanged, and carried you away to the kingdom, rule, and reign of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And because of this, you have redemption, ransom in full, riddance, and deliverance, the forgiveness, freedom, pardon, liberty, and deliverance of sins. Amen? That's good news. If you're born again, you're forgiven. I said, if you're born again, you're forgiven. Totally. Period. The voice of doubt that you hear when I say that is the voice of the devil. So let me say it again so you can hear his voice more clearly. If you're born again, you are forgiven. Totally. Period. That voice of the devil, you need to eradicate it. That is the number one demon you need deliverance from. go back over these scriptures. I hope you've been writing them down. If not, you've got another chance. You can get the CD. And allow your Father to convince you that you are forgiven and safe in Him. And then and only then can God really do the work that He wants to do in you and through you. He wants the first person to believe the good news of all that He's done for you in Christ to be you. He wants you to be the first person to believe that. Okay, let's all stand. Say, I am qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I'm rescued and delivered from the domain and power, from the jurisdictional and authority of darkness. I've been transferred to the kingdom, the rule and reign of God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And because my sins are forgiven, all of them, God did this for me. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for me in Christ. Okay, you may be seated. Maybe one or two more places. You are so totally forgiven that He did even more than all the things that we've been talking about so far. Turn to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, have you? Because somebody has, because He's writing to somebody. So not everybody has. If then you've been raised with Christ, that comes after having been buried with Christ. Having been buried with Christ comes because you're born again. It's a package deal. You get buried with Christ, you get raised with Christ. So if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Where is Christ? Okay. Look at verse 2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Are you in Christ? How did you get there? God put you there. That's the right answer. God put you there. How you got in Christ was God put you there. Okay? And where is Christ? Seated at the right hand of the Father. So where are you? Seated at the right hand of the Father. Y'all are quick study. This has amazing implications when considering the concept that God has delivered you from the power and jurisdictional authority of darkness. Because turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. It's just the next two books back to the left. Ephesians 2. Okay, starting in verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Notice it says, were dead. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Notice that it says were, right? You were dead. That's a past tense. And now we have another precious word, starting in verse 4. What does your Bible say? But, you were dead, and all these other bad things, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay? Repeat after me. You don't have to stand. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. God did this for me. Amen. Let me show you why this is so mind-boggling. Stay here in the book of Ephesians, but go back to chapter 1 and look at verse 20. Talking about that God worked in Christ when God raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things under Christ's feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Christ is above every other power or jurisdictional authority, right? Okay. And you are in him, right? Okay. That makes you above every other power or jurisdictional authority, right? Notice that it talks about the body of Christ. Who is in the body of Christ? Right? We are believers. Believers constitute the body of Christ. Now, are you in the body? Okay, if you're born again. All right? All other power and jurisdictional authority. That includes indwelling spirits. That includes assignments of the devil, witchcraft, powers and principalities, territorial spirits, even Satan himself are under the feet of Christ. Right? Did we see that in Ephesians 1 there? And there is no member of the body of Christ lower than the feet, right? Okay. So, that means that the lowest member of the body of Christ, right? Because some of y'all think maybe you might be the lowest member. So let's just say that you are. The lowest member of the body of Christ is above Satan himself and his entire kingdom. That's deliverance. Who did this for you? God did this for you. So the order of creation is Father, Son, okay? And the Holy Spirit's kind of hard to conceptualize him. He's always making things hard for people. He's somewhere spinning around or whatever. Okay, you have Father, Son, then you have the body of Christ. That's the church, right? Then you have Satan and all of his vast hosts and all of that. And then you have unredeemed mankind, those that are not born again. That's why it's so important that we be faithful to fulfill the Great Commission and to, as our sister Jerry said, to be looking for opportunities at every opportunity to share the good news of the Lord Jesus so everyone has the opportunity to be born again. Because maybe when you walk around and you see that girl at the cashier at the Walgreens, if y'all have Walgreens here, or if you're at the gas station and see the guy pumping gas next to you, the guy sitting next to you waiting in line at the doctor's office or whatever, and you think of him as he is way down here in the bottom of the order of creation, underneath Satan and all of his hosts. And all he would need to do is hear the good news and believe and turn from idols to serve the living God. And he could be elevated and lifted up above Satan and all of his hosts and put in the body of Christ. That's good news, and he or she needs to hear that, right? Amen. Praise God. God can do this for you, because Christ shed his blood and died to the law in Christ and now regards you as innocent. Okay? Well, we're probably not going to be able to get through all this tonight. So why don't we all stand? Repeat after me. I've been raised with Christ. I walk in newness of life. I'm a new creation. I have died. The old has passed away. My life is hidden with Christ in God. The new has come. In Christ I've been raised and sit in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. They are all under my feet. God did this for me. I think what I'd like to do is just pronounce a blessing over you as we dismiss. I'd like to pronounce this blessing from Zechariah's prophecy in Luke 1. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless each and every person in this room, every person that would listen by CD or watch by DVD or the internet. In the name of Jesus, I pray that they, being delivered from the hand of their enemies, might serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness before God all of their days. That they would receive abundance of knowledge of salvation, understand the forgiveness of sins and the tender mercy of God, that they would have light, revelation, understanding, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the voice behind them saying, this is the way, walk in it. If they turn to the right or turn to the left, because there's nothing in this sermon that implies that conduct is not important. Half the New Testament is written as injunctions on behavior, exhortations to, but it's the means by which we attain to that better behavior that's in question. The Scripture says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that every person in this room would be strengthened in faith and would grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they would grow up into Him, the perfect man, that the full fruit of the Holy Spirit would be born in them. All that I can remember, quoting from memory, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, self-control. Let their reasonableness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. I bless them with peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for listening long. Y'all are dismissed. We start tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock in the morning with morning prayer here. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.